Oak Session number 13106, Reel 2.
Mr. Nielsen, Reel 2.
Yes. You know, in the summer of 43, as I was in this corporal school, we heard a lot about what was going on in Copenhagen and in Odense and in Esbjerg, these Danish towns, about strikes, how the workers strike, they made strikes against the Germans, and there were fights, and we heard about sabotage. And in the summer of 43, the first Dane was executed by Germans, and we had heard that, and therefore we knew that something is going on. We don't know who they are and how they do, but there is what we now call a resistance, and therefore the most of us, I'll say, dreamt about getting into this resistance. And but I came home, and then I was alone, and I went to this high school and had many discussions with other students at the school. We were very we didn't agree, all of us. Some of us wanted to fight, and some others thought it was wrong to fight, and so on. So we had discussions of that. in 44, I went to a school in Zealand together with a comrade. And one day I told him I would like to go to Copenhagen to visit a very good friend I had as a soldier, my best friend as a soldier. And we had been together in Næstved in the corporal school and so on. And I know his home address, so let's go and visit him. He's perhaps he knows something. So I went with my comrade to Copenhagen. And it was a very dark night, and when we arrived in Copenhagen, but we went to this address. His father was he worked at the Burmeister Wayne. It was a great factory, ships. They built ships. What do we call it?
Shipyards.
A shipyard. And we went upstairs at the fifth story, yes. And it was dark. Of course, it was too dark because of
the blackout.
The blackout, yes. So there we stood, and I rang the bell at the door, and his mother went out, and we stood two tall men in cotton coats. And she was so nervous and so frightened and shivering. And then I said, well, it's me. I'm Holger's friend. And I told her something. She said, oh, then I know you. Come in. And then she told her, I was so afraid because we have two Danish policemen. The policemen, they were sent in the concentration in KZ-lager, but some of them got free. So she hided them up there. And I thought you were Gestapo. So hun was very afraid. And then she told me that you can't talk to Holger, that was his son, because the Germans had taken him. He is in Germany in KZ-lager. So well, so when we went back, we said goodbye and went again. And then I said, now I have to join this resistance. And I thought, but how shall I do it? My comrade, he didn't know anything. So then I went back to Jutland, to my home, and went out to this high school. And there was a teacher. I knew that this teacher was very anti-German. So I went to him and asked him, can you help me to get into the resistance? And yes, he could. One of his colleagues, that was a man who he became later a rather well-known man in Denmark. He was a professor in history, in literature. His name was Kruse, Jens Kruse. Go to him, he said. He can use you. And I went and knocked the door and came in and told who I was and so and so. And I said, I want to go to the resistance and to fight the Germans and so on. And then he said, have you thought seriously of this? Yes, I have. Do you know you can be killed? Yes, of course I know this. Do you know you can be tortured? If you say yes, I said, I have thought of it for a long time, much too long time. And then he said, we are just organizing a sabotage group for railway sabotage. And I said, that's the right thing for me, and I have learned to use weapons and so on, and I'm a physical, very fit, of course. So the next night I went to a man, he was a leader, and it was that part of Jutland. There had been a very good resistance, and it was all rolled up by Gestapo, and they had arrested people, and they had got the information. So all the organization was broken down, and now they were starting to build a new organization. So there, the group some now was created. Should sabotage the railway.
So, which month have we reached now? About,
I beg your pardon.
Which month have we reached?
Oh, it was late in this. It was late in 44. About the around the 1st of December, I think.
44?
Yeah. That's what I mean, that I was typical, because we then, we were so slow to get going. Typical. But there were some people who started very early during the war. But after 43, after the autumn of 43, I think the resistance was very growing much more, from just a few people to a few thousands. So for the rest of the war, and the rest of the war was only half a year, isn't that right? Yes.
The war finished in May, yes. 1945.
Yes. I was in this group and had, in a way, the best time in my life.
How many members of the group did you know?
Yes, we started with only four, and we became at the And the last month, 12 in the group. But two were killed and one was seriously wounded. The 16th of April in 45. But we made quite a lot of our railway sabotage, and a few other kinds of sabotage.
Where did they all live?
Most of these people lived officially as students at the Folk High School in Esko, and our leader, he had a what we call a mink farm. Do you know a mink?
Yes.
This
fur-bearing animal.
Yes. He had such, and then there was a farmer, and then there were six of these 12 were policemen who had gone underground. Very good people. And then was this man Jens Kruse, who first met. I think if we take all the people I met in this group, then we were 14. But two of them left because they had to go to the to a more to the staff, as I call it.
Yes.
Yeah. So we went as well, but as a rule, we went only four, in small groups of four, and then we went out all 12 to three different places at night. Nearly all our actions was in the night.
Where did you get your equipment from?
From England. They sent it down in containers, and some other groups, we didn't know them. They received the containers, and then they sent the weapons and the explosive and so on. Sent them in a way, and we were just informed that if you next Wednesday clock and 16 go to that place, there will be a car with things you can fetch, you can get there.
What kind of place would it be?
The place I know that was at the a little railway station, and it was sent in this big butter. We sent butter in big wooden things,
crates.
Yes, and it was marked butter and so on. But it was filled with there was machine pistols and Canadian rifles and of course explosive of different kinds.
What was the name of this railway station?
This one, that was Ernst, I think it was. A-N-D-S-T. A-N-D-S-T. I think it was. As a matter of fact, I had very little knowledge about how we had all these things from. But I know it is special. Example.
Was the equipment which was sent in good condition?
Yes. I remember the first work I had in this group was to clean the weapons they had just received. It was a very big work because there was so much
grease,
yes, very thick and very thick grease, and we worked all the night to clean the weapons and read the instructions and so on. And from that time, I think we were rather busy.
Rather what?
Busy. We worked. We were out.
Busy.
Busy. Yeah. Not every night, but very often. After the war, a Danish historian, he wrote a great book. It was his PhD thing about the railway sabotage in Denmark, and he became very famous because he said in his book that the military, the railway sabotage had only a very small military
importance,
yes. And some people became very angry, and I think he was right. The real military importance was very small. But I think it had some other importance. First, for the Danes themselves, they knew and they could hear in the nights that something were going on, and after all, the Germans had to use. I don't remember. I think they had 50,000 men going at the railways. So that's a little thing. But I think it was necessary for the Danes to fight the Germans.
From the morale point of view?
Yeah.
When you got the equipment and cleaned it and so on and got
yes.
it ready, how then would you set about blowing up the target?
We used an explosive we called, I think it was PC2. I think we called it PC2. It was like some grey mass. And then we put. Now my English. We took such like a very thick sausage of this explosive, and we could place it in the rails, and set what we called a pencil down in this thing, and connect it with
detonator.
Yes. A detonator, and we could use a detonator just to set it, and say now it's 10 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour or so, a different detonators, and we could use another kind where we put it in and connect it with a long fuse, I think it is called.
Yes.
And the fuse burns 1 centimeter per second, and then we could see how long time we had. That was the two different types we used.
Whereabouts on the rail did you put it?
In the beginning, we just put it on the rail where we could get it get to the rail. But we learned very soon that sometimes a train could just pass over because such a piece of the rail was exploded. But sometimes the train could go over it.
jump the gap.
Just jump the gap. So we had to do another thing, and then we used a much bigger explosive, and so much that it could turn over and to detrail, I think it's called, to detrail.
Detrain.
Detrain, yes. And I think we had luck sometimes to detrain. And
Derail
the train. Yeah, that's right. And the other thing was to blow up the, I think the name is the points. You know, we're two rays. And then we heard that now there are exploded so many points that the Germans want more joints. And you want points. So we just had to destroy so many joints as possible. So we did.
Did you have any narrow escapes from the Germans in doing it?
Yes, sometimes. The first time was a night when we, in the dark, we went down against the railway, and as we came close to it, we could see two German soldiers at the other side of it. And we stopped, and before we could do anything, he took his rifle and had a shot after us. And one of my comrades, he sent just a short the machine pistol, a short, we call it in Bügelpotensk, a short,
a burst?
Yeah, a burst of five or six shots. And then we ran. And he didn't kill the German. I think he was happy not to kill him, but he hit him. As we ran, they shoot after us. They were shooting after us. I remember that it was a very heavy and soft ground we ran on, and you run very very fast when people are shooting after us. So I think we were very tired, and. when we came from, so we started another place. In the beginning, we just went where there were some trees down to the railway. We followed these trees until we learned that sometimes the German soldiers, they were just sitting at the trees. So we had to go over the open fields down to the. To the railway. It was very different. But then we got a connection with a man at the station in this little town called Vejen in Jutland, and he told us when there was the big German transports by the railway. And he could tell us when it was no transports, and therefore we could try to derail these trains. It was a very good thing to have this man. He was a uniformed Danish railway official, and he just wanted to help us.
What was the farthest you went geographically to do the
work? had a very special piece of the railway in the southern Jutland. Some of the of the east-west going railway, and in the a piece of the north-south going railway. That was our job. And there was a neighboring group. We didn't know who they were, but they were there. And they had another piece of the railway.
So your activities were being coordinated.
Oh, yes. Yes, it was. Yes. And we had we were strongly ordered to not to go outside our own. And it was very
important.
Important, yes, that we followed the orders.
Because otherwise there could have been a clash.
Yes,
with
yes,
the neighboring
yes,
group.
Yes, it could. Yes. And it was nearly always in the night. I remember one day when we made lots of derails at the daytime. I mentioned this man Kruse. I think it was the 8th of April. He was it was his 73rd. Birthday, and therefore, and he had left us because he went to the staff of the region. So we said, now we'll just remember Kruse. We'll make 37 explosions, 37 D-trains,
derailments,
and we heard from this man at the station that there has been something that went wrong for the German guards. There are nobody that's between these two railway stations today. So that then we'll just go out and lay 37, and we were four. We went with 37 explosives. And we went to the railway, and there was no German soldiers, of course, but there were, I think, 10 or 15, or I don't know how many, Danish workers. They were repairing all the things we had done before. They were repairing the rail. So we told them to go home, because we would like to do the job, and they understood, and they went, and then one of them said to my comrade, he was the leader, the one who said to him, couldn't you at least show us your pistol so can we tell that we were
we were threatened.
Oh yes, he said, as we see here. And then and they went. And then we made the 37. And as we went home, we could hear they went off one after the other. So we thought that day it was great fun. But in a way it was not so good, because some people had seen we went down there. Some people said, yeah, it was sure the man who had